Thank you, ladies. Last weekend, Barb and I were in ministry with Pastor Kevin Taylor up in Marquette, Silver Creek Church, a great church. Kevin's been there about 15 years and has just done a marvelous work, touching the community, a very, very strong church. And it was a great time teaching on leadership, then on Sunday doing a mission service. On Wednesday of this week, our dear pastoral friend had cardiac arrest. A young man, just suddenly, surprised everyone, and he is doing well at this point, perhaps because he was a young man, but yet that's not a problem you would expect. Well, I'm going to be reading my text this morning and then praying, and at that time I'm going to lift up Kevin in prayer, and I tell you that so you know the point of my praying for Kevin and that you too can lift him up in prayer. Not only himself, but his dear family. His son, Benjamin, is an associate pastor of the church, and of course, they're kind of a pastoral family. And Barb and I relate to that because we have somewhat the same situation, and these folks need our strength and our prayers today. Amen? And keep Barb in your prayers. She is lying low today. She had a very difficult night, and she would appreciate your prayers as well. And at 6 o'clock this morning, I said, I think you just should stay home. And she rarely would take me up on that, but she's got to be feeling quite badly to stay home. But she stayed home today, so keep her in your prayers as well. With those needs shared, would you stand with me and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. Verses 37. As a matter of fact, let's back up all the way to verse 36. Luke chapter 6 is an abbreviated version of what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. And Luke, writing from a synonymous source of Matthew, and both of them probably wrote somewhat from the book of Mark, that would be the common source, Luke gives to us a version of those marvelous teachings of our Lord that, again, we often call the Sermon on the Mount. And our text this morning is a portion of that magnificent teaching. Jesus said, verse 36, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, or if you have King James, forgive, and it will be forgiven you." Verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by what standard you measure, it will be measured to you in return." Father, we ask your blessing upon your word, that you would anoint it to our lives today. Anoint it as it's spoken, but Lord, more importantly, anoint it as it's heard, that lives may be enriched and benefited by it, that we may be encouraged from the words of your very own heart and your very mind. We do lift up Kevin Taylor today, and Veronica, and Benjamin, and Ashley, and Isaac, all the members of the family. Be with them. Be near to them. I pray for a quickening and a healing in Kevin's body. Lord, you know that he works diligently, and he works very, very hard to support and to lead the body of Christ there in Marquette. So be with him and the entire Silver Creek family today. I pray for Barbara, that you would be her strength and her healing today, and that you would bring restoration to her body in a speedy manner. I pray for anyone gathered here, assembled here today, any believer that needs your anointing, that needs your healing and quickening in their body, be our healer today as we draw near to you. We ask in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. We hear many sermons about giving, and very obviously, verse number 38 is one of the great giving texts of the Bible. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But I would like to address something vastly more important today than the act of giving. I would like to talk to you about the nature of giving. My dad used to talk about something being second nature for certain people. And what he meant by that was that he or she had a talent or a gift or a skill that came very naturally to them, that they just did it spontaneously and automatically. They were good farmers. They were good planters, or they were good at working with their hands. There was really no work to it. It flowed from a natural talent and their very nature. Well, look around and you will immediately recognize that there are many people who have giving as a second nature, giving something to others, a talent, something natural that flows from them. Singing, teaching, managing, caring, hosting, and the list could go on. Giving something to others from our nature, from our talents, from, yes, our resources and our skills is very much a part of many people that are here today. As a matter of fact, it is the rare person that will not give or share. We have survived as a species because we are largely unselfish creations. The very best of people in any profession, in any walk of life, are self-giving people. And Jesus said that must be true of our lives. It's not an addendum to our lives. Jesus said it should be the nature of who we are. For the disciple of Jesus, giving goes beyond even our best nature. Giving becomes supernatural. That is to say, something beyond what is natural. And I say this because I, through the years of many years of ministry, have often seen Christians giving of themselves, whether it's the resources or the very nature and talents of their being, giving beyond human reasoning. Now, we live in a secular culture that tells us at times to hold on to things tightly. And indeed, it is not uncommon to see a spirit of avarice or a spirit of greed within a capitalistic system of politics, of government, and economy. But we Christians are of a different nature. We are a kingdom people. And giving for us, giving beyond our means, giving beyond our ability, is something that should come naturally and should characterize all of our lives. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that becomes a theme of our lives. That becomes something that must have a focus within our lives, day in and day out. The question within our mind is simply this: is there an opportunity to give within the kingdom or toward the kingdom of God today? We're a different culture. And I'm quite sure that you have seen it in your life through the years as you have watched various Christians and the spirit of giving that characterizes their lives. They give their time, they give their energy, they give their effort unceasingly. It is very common within the body of Christ. and we discover and maintain the joy of giving. And the Bible speaks about that, doesn't it? That there's a joy, there's a blessedness in giving. And here is why giving sacrificially out of our need, sometimes we give out of our abundance, but other times we give joyfully out of our own need. We give when we look at the register, or we look at the checkbook, or we look at the account, or we even look at our own emotional and physical resources, and we simply say, I don't have any more to give. And yet we give. And why do we do that? Why is sacrificial giving a way of life? Well, it's because giving flows from the very nature of our Father. It is our nature because it was given to us by our Father. We are like our Heavenly Father. Does not the Bible say we were made in His image? And there are times, in fact, there are many times we need to ask why the Scripture says that. And if it is true, and if in the beginning God breathed His very breath, His very spirit, and He imbued His very mind within Adam and Eve, what is it today that is still true about being made in the image of God? Well, there are many things to be said about that, but one of them is simply this: we are givers, like the Father. Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, that's a rather relevant statement in itself, is it not? There's a lot of evil in the world. But what is considered the most despicable disgrace, if not a greatest evil, is when we see children, or when we see parents, withhold the proper things, the proper giving, from their own children. First of all, we give them life. We give them a home. We give them sustenance. We give them encouragement. We give them strength. And as parents, we never stop giving, do we? Our children are 40 years old, 50 years old. It doesn't make any difference. They're our children. And it's our very nature to give to our children, even though fundamentally we are born in sin. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, Jesus said, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You see, our nature is reflected by the Father's nature. Our giving and sharing nature is a reflection of our God nature, made in His image. We love to give because our Father is a giver. The psalmist said, and he made a statement similar to this dozens of times in the book of Psalms, but he said, the Lord gives us richly all things to enjoy. In Jeremiah chapter 29, the Lord said to Israel, I have come to give you a future and a hope. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and give it to you more abundantly. Jesus also said, I have come and given you my ministry, and not to be ministered unto, but to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. He said that if you ask anything in faith believing, it will be given you. Paul said, if God, who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Need I go any further? Over and over again, the Bible is magnified. It is replete with promises of a giving Father. He simply does not stop. Every area of our life, every region of our being, God touches with His kindness, His thoughtfulness, and His giving nature. Their survival and prosperity of a growing Christian life depends completely upon the giving nature of God. We call it grace. It's the favor of God. If God stopped giving to this planet just from a purely physiological, an existential point of view, if He quit giving tomorrow, the planet would die. If God quit providing His grace to every believer, every child of God that reads His Word, that waits before Him in prayer, if that grace ceased within the next moment, we would all be without God. We would all be without hope. We would all be without faith. Everything about your Christian life is a gift of His grace, something that He has given to you, and that giving nature. And here's what our text is about today. And that giving nature must become one of the strongest characteristics of the son or daughter of God. A Christian without a giving nature has faltered and needs to recover. A Christian who does not understand or practice giving at all levels and in every aspect of their life is like a heart without a beat or a body without a spirit. There is only silence, decay, and eventual death. We live because we give. We are not the Dead Sea where something flows in and doesn't flow out, but a river flows through our lives, the river of God, the river of kindness, the river of grace, the river of forgiveness, the river of mercy. It flows through our lives. It comes in through the power of God and goes out to touch the lives of others. That is our nature. And if you say, Pastor, well, it's not my nature because it's really kind of difficult for me to be a giving person, then you have faltered. I'm not going to for a moment tell you that you're not a believer, but I will say that over time, as God develops graces within our lives, the grace of giving is one of the most powerful things that He wishes to develop because we cannot survive without it. Without it, we become selfish, we become narrow, we become introverted. We internalize and become caustic and critical and sad individuals. Once in a while, that's why as we mature and we get older, that very often we get characterized as crotchety old individuals. And you know why that's true? It's because we've lived so long. Amen? Getting old is the price we pay for staying alive, folks. You know, look in the mirror and smile about it. Not a thing you can do about it. And what happens as we have this accumulation of experiences in our lives that over a period of time, we have a lot of negative experiences, do we not? There's not a person that would stand here to say, and say of any age for that matter, particularly for us more mature individuals, Pastor, I've never had a bad experience. No, we've all had them. And you know what? We're going to have a few more. And here's what can be done with those experiences. We can internalize them. We can be unforgiving. And we can stop giving kindness and thoughtfulness and forgiveness. And we can become bitter. And what happens over time is that people have this dam that they build in their hearts. And it stops the flow of God's love. And we have these very negative experiences, and people of any age can discover this and can experience this. But as we get older, we tend to let those things accumulate and become more withdrawn and become shut in. And we see a culture that doesn't help. Western culture doesn't really offer a lot of respect to the aging. Forgive me, we don't, compared to other cultures of the world. We kind of take those who have aged a bit and set them aside and sometimes even outright neglect them. And that's very, very sad. And in the process of that, the real loser may not be the person that we shut in, but rather the person that shuts in and begins to frown upon life and to feel bitter and to feel bad. And it becomes a kind of spiritual decay within their lives. Well, with all that said, I want to conclude my remarks today by going back to our text. And let's quickly walk through our text for a basic understanding of our giving nature and lifestyle. And Jesus makes three very promising statements. And I want to go through those kind of quickly today. First of all, is the promising directive given by our Lord. Jesus said, when you give, not if you give, nor if you feel like giving. Jesus made an assumption here. In fact, it's more an assumption, much more. In the Greek, that verb give is in what we call the mood of the present tense and then the mood of the imperative. And that's important because that tells us two things about this statement, give. First of all, in the imperative, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Jesus said, when you give. Again, it was a very clear assumption. And in fact, more than an assumption, if indeed, if we trust the Greek tense here, it was a command that you just give. And then, as important, he said, you keep giving because it's a present tense verb. It's linear action. It goes into the future. It doesn't stop. So when Jesus said, when you give, he was commanding and he was saying that giving becomes a lifestyle. Giving is not something that you did about 20 minutes ago in the Sunday morning offering. Giving is not something that you decide to do on occasionally when you feel like you have the physical and the emotional strength to get it done. Jesus said your life must be characterized daily, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade. People look at you and you become the epitome of giving. It's your lifestyle. It's your nature. Giving is not about our duty. Again, it is about our nature, our permanent nature, the instinct to give, the instinct to share, the instinct to be sacrificial, the instinct to go the second mile is continually there for every son and every daughter of God. You can say amen if you wish. There you go. The context of our text today is not one of giving money necessarily. The context is giving mercy and forgiveness. Now, this is a great passage that when you want to preach on resourceful giving, people giving their money, their offerings to the Lord, or giving other things to advance the kingdom of God, this is a great text because it applies to giving of our resources. But yet the context is more completely about the giving of our emotion. Look at verse number 36. Be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Remember what I said about the Father's nature being our nature? Why am I a merciful person? Why am I willing to give mercy? Why am I willing to be tolerant? Why am I a patient parent or just a patient friend with someone else that can become quite irascible at times? Why do I do that? You do it because your heavenly Father is merciful. I'm in the Old Testament now reading through the prophets and in my daily devotions. And I usually, when I get in the prophets, I'll read five or six chapters a day. And of course, we know the Old Testament prophets were rife with judgment. And God was always promising calamity because these people were always rebellious. But it doesn't take a lot to see that that message of judgment and that message of calamity was always balanced with a message of mercy. God is telling Israel, and not only Israel, but the nations that surrounded Israel, and the nations were off in the hand of judgment upon Israel, God promised those nations mercy as well. We give mercy. And look at verse 37. Do not judge, and you won't be judged. Judgmental people make themselves a target. Yes, judgmentalism paints a big target right on your chest and says, aim at me. I'm judgmental. Let it fly. The Bible says if we don't judge, we're less apt to be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and it will be forgiven you. And then, in the midst of all of that, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. You see, emotional impairment is spiritual impairment. That's a fundamental truth that needs to be recognized. If you can't give mercy, if you are not tolerant, if you are not patient, if you are not a forgiving person, do you realize that you impede and you block all of God's blessing within your life? Emotional impairment is spiritual impairment. And one aspect of spiritual impairment is not having the ability to give. So if you don't give mercy, if you don't give forgiveness, if you don't share kindness and consideration and thoughtfulness with others, then you are impaired. And you say, Pastor, well, you don't know what happened to me. Well, I probably do, because all of us have common experiences. You don't know what happened to me as a child, or what happened to me in a marriage, or what a coworker did to me at work. And you know, really, you are right. I can't tell you exactly what happened, and I can't really feel what you felt. I can only tell you what God's Word says. Be quick to forgive. If you want to be spiritually whole, if you want to be sound, you've got to go back in all the instances of your life, and for some of you, all the way back to childhood, and forgive a father or a mother, or a brother, or a sister, or someone who wrought heavy damage within your spirit, within your mind, and your psyche. Forgiveness has to take place. Jesus said, give. Give what? Give mercy. Give kindness. Be able to walk away from a situation as though it never happened. Now, here's what I realize about that last statement. Only God can do that in perfection. In fact, if we could get perfect in this area, I might not even be preaching about it today. Nor would I choose to preach about it as a pastor occasionally. I know in my pastoral years, it was not uncommon for me to get up and talk about forgiveness, because it's hard to forgive. It's hard to walk away. It's hard to say, Pastor, that emotional impairment of walking through something is hard for me. And I would venture to say this, for many of us, it can be a long, long trail to walk, all uphill, 3 feet in the snow. It's not easy, but it's doable. Jesus said, if you give, it will be given to you. If you give mercy, you receive mercy. If you give forgiveness, God will give, among other things, you a stronger ability to forgive. You see, we can't do these things on our own. It's impossible. Secondly, Jesus shared with us a promising law that's activated by the giving Spirit. Here is something Jesus knew. We reap the greatest benefit from a gift given rather than a gift received. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. And I love what he said, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. Jesus said, when we give, it then multiplies to both receiver and giver. What a wonderful thing. Now, if Jesus was talking primarily about emotional resources here, giving things such as forgiveness, patience, tolerance, mercy, and so on, keep in mind what he said. Given, it shall be given. When we release something, the quality of what we release is returned to us and even a greater quantity. If we give forgiveness, we are greatly forgiven and, I believe, are given the capacity to forgive even more, which allows us to move forward in life under every imaginable circumstance. When Jesus said, given it shall be given to you, he affirmed the law of divine reciprocation activated and initiated by the act or the attitude of giving itself. According to Jesus, we need to think about what happens when we give. Let me mention quickly three things. First of all, Jesus in our text said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We've already commented on that. Secondly, Jesus in another passage said, forgive us in the Lord's Prayer, for example. A part of that prayer was forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Again, we experience forgiveness. We enjoy it. We share it more freely when we have experienced it and shared it ourselves. And then you will notice if you turn back in Luke chapter 6, in verse number 31, he gives us a version or the original version of what we commonly quote as or say as, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Have you heard that? And we call that what? The golden rule. It's a rule by which we live. It's a rule by which if we measure life and we gauge our lives and we live by the precepts of that statement, then others will return goodness to us. Well, here's how Jesus said it. And just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way. If you want people to give you kindness, you treat them kindly. If you want people to give you proper consideration, you give them proper consideration. This works in all areas of our lives. It is called the law of reciprocation. God giving back to us what we are first willing to give to him in his wisdom, in his mercy. It's also called in the Bible the law of sowing and reaping. We sow a seed of mercy, of justice, kindness, goodness, and yes, even financial generosity, then we reap the bountiful harvest. In other words, what I want to receive in life, what I want to enjoy in life, is what I choose to share with others. If I become so narrow-minded and so focused on something I want to get, and I forget to give it away, I will not have it. Oh, I may go out and push through on my own and buy something on credit or walk on the graces, good graces of other people to get it, but the Bible says I really won't have it because to get it, I first must give it away. I never really own something until I give it away. I never really have a dream that God is going to fulfill unless that dream can be centered upon me giving some part of myself to another person or other people. That's exactly the way this law works. And just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way. So in mercy, so in love, so in justice, so in kindness, and you will reap the bountiful harvest of all of those virtues. Well, the entire text begs the question, does this work in my finances as well? You know, I can't get through this sermon without at least saying something about money, right? Because that's the thing, our resources, not just money, but all things. Those are the things that are easiest to hold on to because those are close to us. They're tactile. We can touch them. We can feel them. We can see them. We can smell them. And those are the things of the physical world. So we load up our closets and our garages and our storage sheds with stuff. I saw a cartoon last night, and it was cute. It's a father and a younger son, an aged father, and they're standing in front of a garage door that's packed to the hilt, junk running out the front. And the father saying to the son, "Son, I'm leaving all this to you." Oh, yes. I had actually someone call me about a month ago, a dear friend who's up in years, actually several more years than myself. And he said, "Howard," he said, "I'm starting to divest myself." And he's a man that has worked hard and he's done very well in years. And he said, "You know what? I don't need this stuff anymore, don't want it, and I don't want my children to have to deal with it, so it's going out the back door." And, you know, my response was, good for you, good for your kids, good for those that you love. I'm sure what happens will benefit them as well, but good for you. That's a healthy attitude. But here's the deal. We don't have to wait until we have a garage full of stuff to understand that. The Bible says, give. Now, when I talk about giving our resources, I'm not really talking about tithe, because I don't talk about them in the same breath. Because I don't give my tithe. No one here gives their tithe. When we are giving to God, we are giving an offering. The tithe belongs to Him. And I know most of you, perhaps all of you, are like Barb and I. When we sit down, we don't even talk about that 10%. We haven't since our marriage or even before our marriage. That just belongs to God. It's not part of our budget. It's a part of the budget of the kingdom of God. What we do talk about is what we shall give to whom, when, and how much. And then we give it and we leave it to God. And which brings me to my final statement and my final thought today, and that is the promise of an immeasurable blessing given by our Lord when He said, if we give, then it will be given back to us. And He uses some very interesting terminology, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I want you to think about this in all the terms that I've talked about today, particularly the emotional and the inward terms. It's true about our money. I believe that. And I could stand up here today and give you illustration after illustration of how that principle has been proved over and over in my life, miraculously, supernaturally. And there would be a long line behind me ready to say the same thing. God will give back to us. And he uses the terms of a merchant. When God gives back, I have, shall we say, a shovel. And my shovel is so big. And I decide to take something out of the bin of my acquisitions, whether emotional or material, and put my shovel in and then lift it over and place it in the kingdom of God. God says, when you do that, I'm going to shovel back. Except my shovel is 2, 3, 10 times larger than yours. And He said, first of all, I'm going to make sure it's fair. Good measure. That means a fair measure. And then if you're wondering about it, we'll shake it down a little bit. Because, you know, grain is something that once you put it in the basket, you shake it and you get it level. And you're going to give a good measure, a fair measure. And if you're still grousing about it, then He said, we're going to go ahead and run it over so that when you walk away from here, you know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I have taken care of you. Give. Give mercy. Give forgiveness. Give acts and deeds of kindness. Do good to others and assume that the good is going to come back to you. Jesus said, if you give, it will come back. Immeasurable, pressed down, overflowing in a way that will startle you and bring glory to His name. Do you know the best sermon on giving anything is never preached by a preacher? The best sermon, that which rings true in the human spirit, is when another individual can look at the life of a faithful follower of Christ and say, I have never seen anyone give as sacrificially as they give. I mean, they give it all. It never stops. They're faithful to the work of God. They're faithful to the house of God. They're faithful in giving back to God or offering back to God the offering and giving the tithe that belongs to Him in the first place. They're always there. They're never tight. They're never chintzy. They never narrow down. But they're open-hearted, open-minded people. People see that. Not only do they see that, but they see the measure of blessing that God brings upon your life. Now, I'm not going to tell you that if you give $10 to this church, by the end of the weekend, you'll get $100 back. It may or may not happen. You can't really tell God how to give back. God only says it will be quantitative. It will be marvelous. It will be magnificent. It will be something that you won't believe. I don't put time periods on God. Father, I'll give you an offering of forgiveness today. I'll forgive someone, but I've got to have a speedy answer in the next 7 days because I'm feeling a lot of condemnation in my heart. I have a heavy judgmental spirit, and I need to forgive someone so I'll quit being so judgmental. I don't know how God's going to work through that for you. I don't know if you give a dollar, how much, or when God is going to share something back. I only know that God said He would. And either Jesus was an insane liar, or He was telling us something very truthful about the Heavenly Father. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus was and is the Son of God, and the words that He spoke are true. No pun intended, but you can take it to the bank today, and you can draw interest on it. Amen? Would you stand with me? Father, we are grateful today for what You've given to us, those things that You share so abundantly within our lives. We are a giving people because You are a giving Father. You have told us that if we give, it shall be given to us. And You said that in the context of forgiveness. You said it in the context of mercy. You said it in the context of giving the goodness of our lives and the good works of our lives to others. We ask You now to bless this very simple but powerful word to every person present here today. And Lord, I believe this, that this word would not have been spoken today if there were not those who need to offer forgiveness, if there were not those who need to learn to both practice and exemplify mercy within their own lives. So for that person today, particularly that individual going through hard times with difficult and perhaps even harsh feelings, give them that ability to forgive and to move on in the joy, in the blessedness, and in the peace of a giving Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said, God go with you. Have a marvelous Sabbath.